finding, an agent finding its way through a maze, and I just wanted to kind of reinforce some of that. So here's a question based on that. He demonstrated a couple different strategies for trying to get out of the maze, the little underpants guy. So let me remind you of some of what they were. One of the, the question here is, which of these different approaches actually will always find a way out of the maze? Not sometimes, not most of the time, but always. No matter what the structure of the maze is, no matter where the entrance is, no matter where the exit is. So the first one is saying, what about the right-hand rule? The right-hand rule was a rule that said that the agent always proceeds as if its hand, its right hand is on the wall. And so if it hits an obstacle, it has to go around it kind of like this. If it gets to a dead end, it ends up reversing and keeping its hand on the wall like that. The left-hand rule is the opposite. It keeps its left hand on the wall. Like that. The crumb drop with backtracking said that as you go through the maze, you leave little crumbs to denote where you've already been. But you also have a string that connects you to the starting place. And if you get to a place where, how does it work? So you always try to avoid the crumbs, but if you can't avoid crumbs, then you backtrack along the string until you get to a place where you see there's no crumb that you haven't been, so you try that next. Don't backtrack, that was a strategy that said, mark every place that you've been, and just whenever you can step, step someplace that you haven't been. Don't step on any place that you've already visited. And he didn't say this one, but here's another one. Go back to the start if a dead end is reached. So go through the maze, wait till, if you get to a place where you don't have any choices and you can't get out, just start over, go back to the beginning and start again. So which of these, if any, I guess one of them, which one of these is guaranteed that no matter where the starting place is, no matter where the goal is, that it will find the goal eventually? Down. All right, so I'll stop in 3, 2, 1, done. All right, so the right-hand rule doesn't do it. Does anybody remember what the example was from John's presentation where the agent following the right-hand rule actually never made it to the goal? What did it do instead? Right, so what, that's a great example. So if it starts out, if the maze consists of a big open space with the goal in the center and the agent starts out on the edge, it will continue to orbit the edge forever. It will never actually go into the center and hit the goal. And that's true of the left-hand rule too, right? If it starts off on the wall, with its left hand on the wall, and again, it will orbit the goal. So that's not going to be guaranteed to reach the goal. What about this one that I added, to go back to start if dead end is reached? That's not going to always make it to the goal. What's going to cause problems for that strategy? Yeah. Well, so let's say it teleports back to the front. Or it remembers, you know, it drags string behind it, and then it goes all the way back to the start. Where's it going to go the second time through? It could very easily get stuck in that same place. Again and again and again. Now, if it's choosing randomly, the chances that it'll be stuck forever are basically zero. So, but I didn't say that. I just said that once you get to a dead end, go back to the start and try again. You can very easily just go back to the same dead end over and over and over again. So that's not going to be guaranteed to get out. Any quicker problems you need?
No. Okay.
Is it alive? Oh, it's just staring. Okay. All right. Don't backtrack. John also did a demo with no backtracking, where what the agent did is it started at the start state and it went through the maze trailing the red line behind it And if it ever hit a dead end, it would try to go back, but it said, oh, can't backtrack, there's something there already. So it would go and hit the end again, and it would just basically never get out, right? So if you're not allowed to backtrack, then if you do hit a dead end, you're not allowed out of the dead end. There was some movie, this is probably from the 80s, maybe it was Animal House. So people have probably maybe seen Animal House. That was an old movie, maybe 70s even. But anyway, they do a trick on the band. They lead the band into a dead end. And so at one point in the movie, the band marches into an alleyway, hits the wall, and then the trombone hits the drummer, and the trumpet hits the tromboner, and they just stay there for the rest of the movie. They flash back to that same group later in the movie, and they're still there marching into the dead end. Anyway, so that's what happens if you don't backtrack. So the crumb drop was backtracking. What that one did is it kept track of where it had been and tried to avoid going back to places it had been, but if it had been anywhere nearby, it would backtrack until it got to someplace new. And what that caused to happen is, at some point, if the goal is reachable, you will end up visiting every place in the maze. If the goal is reachable, it will go to the goal. So that's, of this list, that's the only one that would work. There's lots of ways of doing that same idea, but in this list, it's the only one that actually does it. And that's where you are. Very good. All right, so then I talked a little bit about encoding schemes. I mentioned one called ROT13. I did not explicitly give the answer to this question, but I'm wondering if you could figure it out anyway. If you remember the code, each of the letters of the alphabet was converted to some other letter of the alphabet when you do the code. I think A went to N, for example, and M went to Z. So, and the name of it is ROT13, but I didn't tell you why. Is it because 13 is a prime number? A lot of codes deal with prime numbers in various ways because they're hard to factor, because they don't have any factors. But figuring out that they don't have any factors is tricky, so that makes the code secure. That's one possibility. It's because it's half of 26, that's true of 13. 13 is an unlucky number to some people, misgenecophobics. So do they choose it that way to scare people off from the code? It's because it happens to be 1101 in binary, or that it's the number 31 if you reverse the digits. So one of these is the actual reason for why it's called ROT13. Go 5 more seconds. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. All right, stopping. So somebody who said it was half of 26. I mean, that was the majority answer. Why? Yes. Right, so ROT13, exactly right. ROT13 means rotate the letter that you're at 13 along the way through the alphabet. And it goes 13, it switches, so A goes to N, which is 13 letters later. And then when you go to convert N, it rotates all the way off the end and comes back to A. And so what happens is you end up, when you encode a word that's already been encoded, you get the original word back. And that wouldn't be true if it was ROT something else. So the reason they picked 13 is because it's half of the alphabet, half of 26.